Good evening and welcome to Town Square. I'm Beth Ann Kozlovich. As always, our weekly conversations include you. And to be part of this one, you can reach us at 941-3689. That's the number to call if you're on Oahu, 941-3689. And from the neighbor islands, or if you're listening to the live stream someplace else, you can reach us at 877-941-3689. Now, just about a month ago, Oahu residents got the news that its rail project would cost more, anywhere from $550 to $700 million more. On top of that, the revenue generated by the temporary tax surcharge was $41 million short of projections. Meanwhile, the project is continuing, and the reminders to drive with care, look ahead and not overhead are already on TV. Still, the city and county and the Honolulu Authority for Rapid Transportation have two issues, finding more money and working to budget to pay for the $5.2 billion rail system. And with four more years until the project is expected to complete, there's plenty of time for other overruns and shortfalls. For taxpayers, there's the issue of what pool of money the current deficit will come from. Already, the temporary surcharge has been extended to the year 2022. According to Tom Yamachiga, the president of the Tax Foundation of Hawaii, that's costing everyone, adult or child, $200 a year. Honolulu Mayor Kirk Caldwell says the shortfall isn't going to come from money slated for the bus. So what's going to happen now? Tonight, we're going to look at the rail project, its progress and its challenges, with Mayor Kirk Caldwell and HART CEO Dan Grabalsis and you. Our number again is 941-3689 or 877-941-3689. Welcome to you both.
Hey, Beth Ann, thanks for having us back on. I always enjoy coming to Town Square and talking story with your listeners.
Nice to have you here.
Great to be here.
And nice to have you back too, Dan Grabalsis. It's been a little while.
Thank you.
So this time last month, the December Board of Directors meeting, you made the announcement that the overruns and they were going to be pretty lengthy, and you also had an action plan to reduce those costs. For about a year, though, some of the revenue from the surcharge has been at a deficit, too. Mayor Caldwell, did you ever stop to think at some point maybe this project would be in trouble?
No, Beth Ann. In fact, you talk about the shortfall in GT collections. It's something that was brought to my attention when I became mayor by Dan. And we actually started to meet with the Department of Taxation to see if we couldn't get a better handle on why is GT growth, the slope of the growth for the state of Hawaii, is a pretty steep slope. And for GT collection for rail, it was a lower slope. It should be paralleling each other because Oahu with a million people, with Oahu with the military, Oahu with most of the visitors coming here, Oahu with all this construction, we believe that we should have a stronger slope and be collecting more GT than we were collecting. So we've reached out with the previous administration. We got some information, but not a real good understanding. And since David Ige has become governor, I've gone over to sit down with him. We've talked together. And as you know, the governor is very passionate about making sure that all taxes that are owed get collected. And so he says he's willing to work with us to see why there is this shortfall now of about $40 million, between $41 and $40 million, and see if we can't reverse that curve, because it's critical to make sure we have all the money we need and that everyone is paying the tax so we build this system that we committed to build.
Did you have any indication why those two taxes weren't tracking each other as they should have been?
Well, they explained that there's a lag, that because there's a lot of manual operations at Department of Taxation where they actually open envelopes, that it was a matter of opening and posting and that they'd catch up. But if that was the case, both slopes would be the same, right? They'd maybe be a gap, but would be paralleling each other. But actually, the slope falls away from the state collections. And so there's another story there. We don't know if maybe some folks aren't paying it, or if some folks who have operations on all islands are paying, you know, moving the payment over to a neighbor island to avoid paying the 0.5%. We're not certain. And all we're asking for is let's look at some tax returns. Maybe let's look at some type of audit to answer some of those questions. You know, a good slice, take 1,000 returns filed on this island and see what it shows. And I think we'll get a better handle. That has not happened, and I'm hoping we'll get that opportunity.
Those would be random returns?
I would propose random.
That would be audited?
Yeah, that's what I would propose.
And those would be average people and businesses?
That's correct.
For some people, that sounds scary.
Well, I think everyone should be paying the taxes they're supposed to be paying. We do in this room, and I believe others should too. We'll find out. Maybe they all are paying. But then there has to be another reason why we on Oahu would be getting less of our GT share than we should, because we know that with unemployment here, it's almost 3.5%. That's almost full employment. Our unemployment is much better than the neighbor islands. So I don't see why we shouldn't actually, our slope should be steeper than the state slope, because we are generating so much income on this island.
Dan Grabowski, the surcharge is a smaller portion of this. It's got a story in itself, but looking at the cost overruns and looking at how much more the rail project is going to cost us now, and even looking back into some of the reports that were done 5 years ago, 7 years ago, and the changes in the numbers, I mean, one can clearly see that it's always costing us more. And here we are in 2015. Who knows what may happen in the next 4 years? How do you project in any sort of way to take care of what's happening in the last little while and what's the shortfall there, and somehow safeguard against the future?
Well, people, I'm sure, can reasonably see that when you have a mega project that has many millions of dollars, lots of moving parts, and occupies many years between the conception, the design, and ultimately the construction, you have ups and downs in the economy, you have changes and circumstances that you have to deal with. So you do the best you can to try to project into the future. Over the life of this project, we've seen some very favorable bids come in. When the first bids in the first couple of the first 10 miles of the guideway came in, for instance, those bids actually came in under our estimate back in 2009 and 2010. So those were very favorable. What we're doing now, unfortunately, is that as a result of delays, some because of lawsuits that halted our project, we've now been shifted into a different time for our bids. So we're bidding now in a very hot market where we've got a lot of competition for other vertical construction. We're competing in many ways against those high rises in Kaka'ako for the businesses who are looking at those construction companies to do work. So we're seeing these costs rise. We opened the bids for the first 9 stations last fall, and that was really a tipping point for us. We'd monitored things like the GET lagging slightly behind. We'd monitored another negative indicator, which is we had these delay claims and we were negotiating them and paying those claims out. But it was really when we opened the bids for those first 9 stations that we realized we're now bidding the final 40% or so of the construction contracts in a very different market than was anticipated back several years ago because of the delays. So as a result of that, we've recalculated and recalibrated what we believe the future costs of the project will be. And it's from those numbers that we were able to put together a projection of between $550 and $700 million in a total of about 5 to 10. This would be about 10 to 15% off of what the total cost projections would have been, primarily driven by the GET lagging, by the higher bids, and by these delay claims we had to pay. Delay claims totaled about, we'll have totaled about $190 million by the time all is said and done. So we've survived a lot. Legal battles have been fought and won, but they have cost us a lot of money, and they've cost us time, which is in some cases now costing us even more money.
You've talked about repackaging some of the bids. Usually consumers are told that if they bundle services, they're going to get a better deal. Why is repackaging and sort of disentangling some of these services from each other going to actually make a better deal for us?
It's a great question, and usually it is counterintuitive, right? You buy in bulk and you save. The interesting thing is there are some unique challenges we face in construction here in Hawaii. We are not able to just readily ship equipment from one state border to another or have people who can commute from one state into our state to work. We are an island. And so we have basically challenged by finite resources on the island, or if we need to bring resources onto the island, it's very expensive. So one of the things we found from talking to the construction companies was that the construction companies here are not all mega companies. And if we have a mega bid situation, it's going to be very difficult for them to participate. And what is more significant is that the subcontractors that they would hire, the local companies that we want to employ on this project, found that the 9 stations together was just too big for them to bid on. So we had very little competition among the subcontractors and sub-suppliers. What we learned was to right-size these projects and these bid offers for Hawaii and maximize what we can leverage here, we've taken the 9 stations and broken them up into 3 packages of 3. And from the interviews we've had with construction companies, we believe that local companies and local sub-suppliers will now be able to participate more with more competition, and that should help us to drive down some costs.
So how do you maintain, for both of you, how do you maintain some sense of constancy then if you know, this package of three and that package of three and that package of three, so that all of them have obviously the same specs, but also the same level of quality?
You do that through the bid process. Another way to look at it is you're also not putting all of your eggs in one basket with one company that might not be the best company to work with. So what we're able to do is manage individually those contracts. You can go to the other extreme. We wouldn't break them into nine separate or individual contracts. That's probably too cumbersome, too much management. But the three packages of three seems to be maybe the sweet spot for the businesses here and the local companies that can compete on these projects.
Was there any thought to do that in the beginning, that might be a better rationale?
People sat at a table and sort of competed to think about whether or not bigger meant better because of economies of scale, or smaller and right-sizing them might be better. It was discussed. The idea was that sort of bigger was better. We found out that wasn't the case. So we halted that bid solicitation. We canceled it, and we're doing what we think the industry is telling us is going to give us the lowest price.
If you're just joining us tonight, we're talking about the progress and the challenges of Oahu's rail project. Mayor Kirk Caldwell is here, also CEO of HART, Dan Grabauskas. And you too, if you have a question and you'd like to join our conversation, the phone lines are open, 941-3689. If you're on Oahu, use that number, 941-3689. And from the neighbor islands, 877-941-3689. Mayor, you wanted to jump in here a moment ago.
I just wanted to emphasize one thing. I think the breaking of these contracts into smaller bid amounts is a good thing for our local workforce. As Dan mentioned, when these mega contracts were put out, you had to have mega companies, some of the largest construction companies in the entire world, bidding. And yes, we got great quality work, but some of the opportunity was lost for our local companies. And I believe that by breaking in these, the nine stations and the three packages of three stations each, will give more opportunity to create greater competition and hopefully reduce the bids. And I wanted to say the first bid package went out last year. It's going to be open in February, correct,
That's
Dan?
Right. That's right.
And we're going to see whether, having done that, what's the competition like and has the cost come down? Because when it was a nine-station bid, the low bid was 63% higher than our anticipated budget. Some folks said, why didn't we wait until this new bid came out before he talked about these cost increases? Because we'd have a better measurement. But both Dan and I believed, to be fully transparent, and we agreed when I became mayor, became executive director, we're going to report all the good news and the bad news. So we did it in December to share with the public what our concern was and what we were going to be doing to try to address it, instead of kicking the can down the road and hoping the next bid selection would come in lower and then talk about it. And I think it's the right way to be, and this is going to be a dialogue we're going to continue for the remainder of this project, which goes to 2019.
Well, there's some callers who would like to be dialoguing with both of you. We're going to get you in on the conversation. And if you would like to join us again, don't wait. Make your call now, 941-3689 or 877-941-3689. CEO of HART, Dan Grabauskas, is here. So is Kirk Caldwell, mayor of Honolulu. And you too. Going now to Aaron calling us from Kaka'ako. Aloha, Aaron. Thanks for your patience.
Aloha, thanks for taking my call. There's a lot of talk about the construction and the stations and all the costs and stuff, but I haven't heard a lot about the progress of the train cars themselves. So I'm curious what the status of that is or what those are. And I guess, too, if the price of the cars themselves is controlled as well. Thank you.
All right, Aaron. Thanks very much for a straightforward question. Dan Grabauskas,
I'm very pleased to report that the rail car manufacturing is exactly where it needs to be. In fact, while we look at the columns and the guideway here on Oahu and the progress, the first rail car began manufacture at a factory in November in Italy. The company that we've hired to do the manufacturing is called Ansaldo Breda. They're an Italian company. So they'll be framing out the rail cars in Italy and then shipping them to Pittsburgh, California factory for final assembly. We hit two really significant milestones, Aaron, in the last 6 months. One was we completed the substantial design in the late summer of last year, and that was very important for us to hit. And then the next significant milestone was to actually begin the assembly of the rail cars in November, and we hit that milestone as well. We just recently had a group, a team of our folks go to the three factories in Italy that are manufacturing components, including the one that's assembling them, and they report back they're on schedule, very high-quality work, and things going very, very well. So that translates into the fact that that first rail car in a few months will go, or that frame will go to California. It'll reach final assembly in December of this year, and we can anticipate the first rail car arriving here in Honolulu in the first quarter of next year. So just about a year away from now, people will actually see one of our first trains arriving here.
Aaron, thanks very much for the call. Going to go now to Pearl, calling us from Honolulu. Aloha, Pearl. Welcome to Town Square.
Thank you. I'm very much concerned about the cost overruns, and I wonder how much has been budgeted for the downtown portion of construction and how much was budgeted for the other portion.
All right. Yeah. Thanks very much for another straightforward call.
So the total project budget is $5.2 billion. We have, to date, put out about 60% of those construction contracts and awarded them. I think that, Pearl, the way that I answer the question is we have a budget that we have looked at for the final 10 miles of the guideway and the 21 stations. That's the about 40% of the construction contracts that are yet to go. Based on the bids that we received from the first nine stations, that's where we're seeing this cost increase. So what we're estimating right now is that the actual costs for the final 10 miles of the guideway and the 21 stations could be as much as 30% to 35% higher than what we had originally estimated. Now, we set aside a 15% contingency, but obviously that doesn't cover a 30 or 35% overage. And that's really what we announced and what we talked about with the public beginning last year. With the delay claims of $190 million, taking that away from the project, and with the lower GET revenues, we were seeing two negative indicators, but it was really when we got the bids opened for the remaining, for that first nine stations, that we said the remaining 40% of the construction contracts are likely to be over. And when you add all of them together, that shortfall is, again, estimated to be about 10 to 15% short of what we had originally budgeted for the full project.
All right, Pearl, thanks very much for the call. Going now to Brett, calling us from the Leaky Leaky area. Brett, are you there?
Hello.
Hi there. Welcome to Town Square.
My comment, my plea is I heard that there somebody comment that with the price being more than they thought that, we have to cut off on some of the art aspect of it or the aesthetics of it. And I'm pleading with you, please don't make an ugly rail. Whatever it costs, make it as good as we reasonably can. And maybe consider the artistic stuff being something modular that, you know, set it up. If you can't pay for all the good stuff now, set it up so that you can add that stuff in later maybe, but don't leave us with the ugly thing, you know? I'm from the windward side of the Kahikili Highway, that stretch in Kaneohe. They left us with something that it's like driving through a gutter, a sewer pipe. And finally, after years, they threw some plants in there, which helps a lot. But, you know, people aren't going to be happy if you make this thing ugly. That's all I have to say.
All right, Brett, thanks so much. Well, aesthetics are important. I mean, we obviously live in this beautiful place where aesthetics bring us tourists, and they also bring a lot of people a great deal of joy in living here. To have an ugly rail wouldn't exactly be good fun for anybody. I mean, obviously, there's a certain measure of, if you want to call it ugliness, because it's going to be what it is in some of it, and depending upon your own aesthetic sense, that may or may not make you happy. But in terms of the artwork and some of the other things that you talked about early on in the project, those things are not going to be thrown out?
So I think the caller may be reacting to a question I received from City Council yesterday, and they were asking me, you know, are you going to be able to cut and save money? And in fact, what's on the table? And, you know, anything that's non-essential should be cut. And what I said back to folks at the council was, we are looking at everything, but we're also going to be very transparent with the public, because while there may be a minimal functional element to what we need to deliver, one of the most important things that I've heard from my numerous community meetings, especially on our station designs, is we want this to not just be functional, but to be a part of the community. It's going to be a part of our neighborhood, and we want to have these aesthetic elements there that make it attractive. And they want the feel and the look of Hawaii and of the places that, that they're passing through. So we do have an art program. We do have a program for decorative columns around the stations. And what I said to folks who the council who asked the question was, sure, everything's on the table, but I want the folks, the public and the community should have a dialogue on, if it's not an essential element, do you really want me to cut this? Or in the alternative, is there a way to come up with some additional way to fund that element? Because I don't want to build something that people can't be proud of. And all I can tell you is that what we will do is be very transparent about what costs could be saved by certain elements if they're cut. And if folks say, I would rather pay something more or extend the GET and have the thing built right and look beautiful, then that's something that we should have as a conversation in the community.
I did want to add, you know, Brett, I share your concern. We're building a system that's going to be around for 100 years. Generations are going to be driving under it, riding on it, and we want to make sure that those generations see something that tells the story of this place. Dan talked about how it has to be tied to the land where it runs through. And those decorative columns that have been put up so far do tell that story. While it's important that we manage our cost, there are other forms of value engineering, you know, maybe not making some of the stations as large or as grand in other ways, but still make sure that the aesthetics, the pure, basic, simple aesthetics are as good as possible so that we can look at it and feel good about it. And I think if you were to drive out to the Eva Plain where Ho'opili is going to be built, and you stood underneath these columns, and I have on the spans, it's pretty darn nice looking, I have to say. I was more pleased than what I thought. And I'm hoping that we continue that trend for the remainder of the project.
All right. Thanks very much for the call. Going now to Shannon calling us from Manoa. I'm sorry. Are we at Thomas? Shannon. Shannon calling from Manoa.
Hi.
Hi there, Shannon.
Hi, thank you so much. And thank you, Mayor Caldwell and Mr. Grabowskis, for the chance to hear directly from the two of you on this. I'm wondering what the current status is of the parcels, the land parcels that we're needing to acquire for the stations and for the transit-oriented development. Are we expecting cost overruns there as well?
I take that.
Actually, I can report that as of today, we've acquired a little over 75% of the property that we need to build this project, and we're running about $12 million under a budget, and that's good. So we are actually right on schedule where we want to be in terms of property acquisition, and we are actually slightly under budget. We have a total budget of about $220 million for property acquisition, and my expectation is as we complete the final 20 to 25% of acquisitions that we should end with a surplus in that account.
Surpluses are good, even if it's a smaller one of that nature.
They are very good.
Thanks very much for the call, Shannon. But as you talk about having acquired what you need to be able to put the remainder of those stations in, we saw that account of the blood bank saying, you know, we got to move. This is going to cost us. We're a nonprofit. Is there going to be any help? Is there going to be any help?
So we work very closely with every business and every property owner along the route. In some cases, the property owner is not the owner of the property. I'm sorry, is not the owner of the business. So we work with both. And we are required by federal law to treat all of these businesses as fairly as possible. We do multiple appraisals to give them the value if it's a full or partial take. And to the degree that there are businesses that are in any way disrupted or have to be relocated, a part of that $220 million I mentioned is not just to actually acquire easements or purchase a property in fee, but it's also to relocate businesses, give them search services to find new locations. So we work very closely with them in each and every instance. And I can tell you the same thing is true for the blood bank. We are working very closely with them. They're a vital resource. They're a link that is irreplaceable here on the island for people who need blood at our facilities. So we know that not all businesses are created equal, so we're working very closely with them. And our hope is that we'll be able to only have a partial take where we only take a small sliver along the roadway and not have to disrupt their business or have to take the full building.
When will you know that?
So far, the information that we've been able to have presented to us by them and that we presented to them seems to indicate that we do not need to take the whole building. They have some folks who think that we may need to, so we've invited them to give us that evidence and that information. And then the other thing we've said to them is we can work very closely with you during the period of construction as we go past your building to make sure that there's no disruptions for equipment, vehicles to get in and out with blood. The good news about the way we're constructing things, Beth Ann, is that those columns are only about every 125 feet apart. So the actual impact to any one business while we're doing the column construction lasts only about 2 to 4 weeks. So it's not a long time. We're pretty convinced we can work with them during that short duration to make sure that any comings and goings that they need at that facility can take place.
All right, we've got lots of callers on the line. If you'd like to join us, 941-3689 is the number from Oahu. And if you want to call us from the neighbor islands or you're listening to the live stream someplace else, you can get to us at 877-941-3689. Dan Grabauskas, CEO of HART, is here. Mayor Kirk Caldwell is here, and you too. And we're going off now to Thomas, calling us from somewhere on the H1, and I hope you're calling safely.
Yes, thank you. Thanks for taking the call. I got two questions. One, I noticed there's security cameras. Are they recording the actual construction, or are they there for the obvious reasons? And are we planning to go to UH?
All right, take the security cameras part first.
We do. We do have cameras at a number of different locations, both for security as well as their archival footage that we'll be using to demonstrate the activities that is happening along the entire guideway and at each of the stations. That footage also helps us, frankly, if we have any disputes with the construction companies over any activities, we've got that as well. But we're hoping that it'll help to reduce some of the thefts that take place at some of these locations. On the second question, so this particular project is 20 miles, 21 stations, and goes from East Kapolei near the Croc Center to Ala Moana Shopping Center. And in the parlance of the federal government, it's the minimum operable segment that was determined by Oahu residents and the federal government. But the real story is that the study about what would be optimal for Oahu was something called the locally preferred alternative, right? So the locally preferred alternative was actually a little bit longer. It went from downtown Kapolei all the way to UH Manoa, about 26 and a half miles or so. And that additional length was shrunk to the 20 miles, really just to fit the budget that was originally proposed. I know we're pretty excited about the fact that I think this is going to be a really tremendously successful project. People are going to love riding it. And what I hear from people is, okay, there's been some question about whether or not this is going to go forward or not. But if you're going to build this, you got to get to Manoa. And so that may be the next big conversation, I think, for the community is actually taking the making the resources available to go to downtown Kapolei and to Manoa.
I do want to add to it.
When do you think that we're going to actually have that conversation?
Well, I think we had it. Last year, we actually put in legislation. This extending the excise tax or lifting the sunset was discussed last session because we're looking for funds to continue the project up to UH, as Dan mentioned, and all the way to Kalailoa, downtown Kapolei into Kalailoa, that locally preferred alternative. Because I believe that this system should at least go up to our main flagship campus in Manoa, and many people have said, why doesn't it? And we wanted to start raising the money now, because if we're going to continue, HART is ramped up. It's a construction company right now. Once the project is finished in 2019, all of Dan's guys who are working on construction go to other places, and it becomes an operating system. We want to keep marching forward from Ala Moana Shopping Center up to UH and not lose that talent, that experience, that know-all attitude so we can finish it. And so we need to start raising the money now in order to get the steam that we need to get the amount of money we need to keep going. The other thing I wanted to emphasize to Thomas, this is why I'm excited. I think it's probably the only system in the country that connects so many college campuses. UH West Oahu, Leeward Community College, Honolulu Community College, Pacific University, HPU, Hawaii Pacific University, John A. Burns School of Medicine. There's a station just mouth of the Burns, and then up to UH Manoa. So a kid could go to school at UH Manoa, could get on the train, get out to UH West Oahu in, 40 minutes maybe, and go to a class there and then come back to Leeward. you know, and get off at Honolulu Community College to go home or take a class there. No other system, no college system, I think, is going to be linked like ours is, partly because we are a linear city. We live along this rail line. But it's a positive thing, and we need to do it for the future of our youth. And so I'm excited about going up to UH-Manoa.
To say nothing of what it will do to decrease the car congestion.
Yes.
941-3689 is our number if you're on Oahu, or 877-941-3689 if you aren't. And if you have a question for Mayor Kirk Caldwell or HART CEO Dan Grabauskas about the current state of rail, its progress and its challenges, that's what we're talking about tonight on Town Square. And your calls are welcome. Going now to Chris calling us from Oahu. Aloha, Chris. Welcome to Town Square.
Thank you. I'm really appreciating the transparency and the willingness to talk about a subject that has a lot of energy around it from a lot of different points of view. And I'm wondering about sustainability in the long term. My understanding is that these projects are by definition never sustainable in and of themselves. They require ongoing funding. So I'm wondering how those future projections are looking, if they've changed, and if there's any plans for how to make sure that sustainability is incorporated into this. Thanks.
All right. Thanks very much for your call, Chris. So looking at issues of how do you maintain the system, and as technology changes over time, things may happen. How do you keep it sustainable so that it doesn't become a dinosaur and can last the amount of time that you're talking about?
So I want to answer one thing about any mass transit public transportation system. It is a subsidized system. From our legacy systems like the T in Boston, where Dan came from, to the subway in New York, to the tube in London, to the metro in Paris, to BART in San Francisco, to our bus system, which is one of the most heavily used bus systems in the country, 225,000 rides on it every day. It needs to be subsidized in order for people to afford to pay to get on. It's what any great city does. It's about transportation equity and social equality. And yet, yes, your question, Chris, about is there enough funding to make sure that we can pay to operate and maintain this? Yes, I do believe it is. But I also think the debate we're having right now about extending the GET tax is about looking at models around our country where in every other legacy system that I described, there is a dedicated funding source to help pay to operate and maintain the system and to build additional segments like up to UH. Because no system is built in its entirety at one time. You know, you build the first line, and from that it's like doing a spider web. You connect to other places. That's going to happen, I believe, on this island. And so a dedicated funding source would assure that we can continue to build segments and that we have the funds to operate and maintain the system with still support from the city and county of Honolulu through our real property taxes, but not solely from real property taxes. And here's the thing I love about the GET tax. One-third of it is paid by our visitors. One-third. If that goes away, that means all of us on this island, real property owners, pay 100%. And I think it's better and wiser to look to our strong visitor industry to pay that one-third.
Do you see any other funding streams?
That's the main one for me, I think. And it's, you look at it, you know, in other, like in other systems, it's a sales tax. Well, our GET is a form of a sales tax. Dan, in Boston, what is it? It's liquor tax?
It was a sales tax. So there, most, as the mayor said, most, every system in the world has at least one. Some have multiple sources of subsidy. The most common one in the United States is a form of a sales tax.
Yeah.
There would be some people who would say, well, why didn't we know this in the very beginning? Why was this talked about as being a temporary thing if this is, in fact, how other systems are run?
You know, I look back. I was in the legislature in 2005 when we voted on this tax. There was a lot of discussions along the lines you say. At the end of the day, it was, you know, like any legislation, hard negotiated and said, this is what it is. We're not going to do any more. If you want to come back at a later date, you can come back at a later date. It's a long time away, you know, 2022. Think about it. We passed this in 2005. We're now in 2015. And about 10 years have passed since that vote was taken. Things change. And I think if we look at maybe some of the other systems that were started, maybe it was a temporary tax that became permanent later. And part of it is people who have never seen a rail system have a lot of doubt and questions about whether it's going to work and who's going to ride it. And in almost every case, I can't think of one case where it didn't happen. Once it's built, people love it, people write it, and they want it to go to other places. And that's, you know, then they say, we want to see this extended. So in our case, I think it's better to start the planning now than to wait.
All right, we're going to take some more of our callers. And if you would like to join the conversation, the phone lines are open. But you got to be quick because we got lots of callers coming in. We want yours to be one of them, 941-3689 or 877-941-3689. Going to Carmen, calling us from Honolulu. Aloha, Carmen. Welcome to Town Square.
Hi. I have a question. You've mentioned about extending the rail to Manila, but has there been any discussion about possibly extending it to Mililani? And if so, when can we expect that to happen? Thank you.
I'm going to this is Kirk again, but I think Dan should jump in too. I've actually said in a number of occasions with Dan that I think, for me, I think we should build the locally preferred alternative first. That's what us guys on Oahu wanted, and that's from Kalaeloa up to UH. After that, I think looking at Salt Lake, remember at one point, instead of going to the airport, it was going to go to Salt Lake. There's maybe 40,000 folks who live in the Salt Lake area. And then Mililani, absolutely. It's a bedroom community. It's a place where young families live. And I would like to see it go up there. But when? I think we're talking now decades, unfortunately, from now, because like any system, like building the spider web, it takes a long time to build it out completely. And, of course, we can only do that as long as we have the funds to do so. The only thing, Dan, I ask is, would the slope be sufficient to take a rail system up? Because you are going Mauka and you're going up this slope. Do you have any ideas on that?
Yeah, I haven't studied in any detail. Typically, you want to try and not exceed a 5% grade, but it can be dealt with in Vancouver. For instance, the Evergreen Line has their new light rail system actually heading down a pretty steep slope on trains having to come up, and they've done that by a combination of some above ground and some tunneling. So, you know, I'd have to look at that in more detail. Mm-hmm. But I would say for the folks who live in Mililani that even the current project we're working on recognizes the importance and the hope that we're going to have for a lot of people from Mililani ride. Because as a part of this project, we have a dedicated ramp from the H2 into Pearl Highlands, where we're going to have the largest single parking facility in this project. 1,600 space parking garage is envisioned for Pearl Highlands, along with a station and also a multimodal spot for us to have bus and handy van there as well. So we're really hoping that we'll get folks who will take the bus or their car from Mililani down to this dedicated ramp and into the multimodal stations and facilities we have there.
Can I just add one more thing for Carmen? And we've talked about this too. You know, when the election in 2012, there was an argument about BRT versus rail and so forth. I think actually a BRT system, bus rapid transit from Mililani Town, Mauka and Makai, mm-hmm. right into this transit station on that off-ramp from H2 could work. And I think once this system is finished, mm-hmm. looking at doing that and working with the federal government would make sense. I don't know what you think about that, Dan, but I think that's an interim solution before a rail is built up.
I think the other thing, Mayor, the vision you've outlined is exactly that course of history that so many cities have gone through as they've grown. Typically, they start with the bus system, and then they'll add other elements. The larger systems, even the mid-sized systems, typically don't rely just on bus, just on rail, or just on BRT. You'll see all of them in some mix and form, because you have to deal with geography or you have to deal with the way that the communities have grown historically. So I wouldn't be surprised that would be maybe even a preferred type of alternative for that particular route.
Now, while you've been talking, we had People versus Machine tweet to us, check the polls, Mayor, overwhelmingly the public wants the rail tax to end as promised. How would you answer?
Well, I don't know what poll he's referring to, if it's the big question in the Star Advertiser. I mean, I look at it every day. I don't know who's voting in that. But I wouldn't base a decision on a poll taken like that. I think, again, we need to make the right decisions for this project. And it is engaging the public in that discussion. They absolutely have a critical role, which is why we're talking now to you today. It's why we went out in December disclosing that we think, given the bid that came out, even though we repackaged, they're going to be higher. We want to engage the public and have them walk with us to the right decision, because at the end of the day, going backwards and not building this rail system. Talk about sustainability. We cannot repave more of our Ina with more freeways, concrete and asphalt, and increasing global warming. It's about a different way of traveling together, and I believe rail is the way to go. And we need to engage the public in that discussion and travel together to that end goal.
Well, that's what we're doing this afternoon. And if you'd like to join us, our number is 941-3689 or 877-941-3689. And if you want to send me a tweet, I'm at BKOZHPR. Forgot to tell you that earlier. Sorry, guys. All right, going now to Richard calling us from East Honolulu. Aloha, Richard. Thanks for your patience.
Hi, thank you. My question is to Dan. Isn't the loan that the city council talked about yesterday really a short-term bond? Can you explain to us the difference between the two and how the short-term bond will save taxpayers money?
Sure. What was discussed yesterday at the city council is as a result of this, for this project to be built, there are going to be some years where we're going to be spending more money than the cash that's coming in. And so what we'll do is we'll borrow to bridge through those years. And the discussions we've been having now with the city council is how we're going to borrow that money and then how we will be paying it back. And we'll be paying that money back through the, both the GET and the federal funds that we're receiving. Because remember, 70% of the project is paid for by the local GET and 30% is paid for by a federal grant. Totaling about $1.55 billion that we get. So the conversation with the city council is we've got right now about $360 million in cash in the bank, but as we ramp up our activities and start building the second 10 miles of the guideway and stations, we're going to consume more cash in the next several years than is available in our bank account. So we're going to just borrow to get through that.
And borrow when it's more cheaply had.
And use this short-term borrowing at right now very historically low interest rates to save a lot of money. The mayor rightly points out that his administration, his Budget and Fiscal Services Office, was really successful in crafting a plan that was able to come back to us and say, we're going to save probably $60 to $75 million over what our old plan called for. As you said, Bethann, earlier, every little bit counts. That's another very good piece of news for us. And if the interest rates stay as low as they are for even longer, that $60 to $75 million could get even closer to $100 million in real savings. So the conversation we've had with the city council is how are we going to structure that borrowing and how we'll pay that back. They're obviously concerned because of the projections for costs on the remaining contracts. But what we were trying to assure them is this is a smart way to borrow. The current contracts we've awarded to Kiewit for the first 10 miles of the guideway and the rail operations center, those are on track, both schedule and budget-wise. So we're doing fine there, and that's really what we're going to begin to borrow to pay for.
All right. Thanks very much for the question, Richard. Going now to Jim calling us from Kalihi. Aloha, Jim. Welcome to Town Square.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. I'm wondering, I was out looking at some of the spans with a friend of mine, it appeared to me, I don't know, some of them don't connect. Is that something to be concerned about? One question I had. The other one, it sounds like the ridership is, if it's not there, we'd just subsidize it a little more. Is that right?
So first on the spans, it depends on what part of the project you're looking at. The way that our project is primarily constructed is there's a column about every 125 feet, and on top of that, you'll have the span that goes from one column to another, and that's made up of 12 segments. So what you see if you watch the construction is you'll see this metal truss that's placed over two columns, and then they truck in the 12 segments and place them on the truss, and then they put them together, but they're not fully tensioned with the cables to pull them together very tightly immediately. That takes place over some time. So if you were looking at that, you might actually see gaps between each of the individual segments. And then even when the segments are completed, it's not until the final finishes are done on the guideway that you actually see all of those gaps disappear. So it's expected during the period of construction. If you went out there now, you'd see actually little gaps between each of the segments. That's not unusual. But a couple of years from now, those will be gone. And then the second thing is, we're expecting to have a ridership of over 119,000 rides per day. I personally think that given the travel patterns here in Hawaii and particularly in Oahu, east to west movement, exactly where our train is going to be placed, I think we're going to actually, I'm more worried about us exceeding our ridership projections than falling short.
All right. Thanks very much for the call. Going now to Elaine calling us from Waikiki. Aloha, Elaine. Thanks for your patience.
Hi. Yes. I actually had one question, but then I thought about a more important one, which is has it been decided where the power plant to run the rail will be built and who will be paying for it? Will it be the taxpayer or will it be HECO? And since HECO is going to be sold, how does that figure into the complicated mix of powering the rail? The last time I heard, there still was no decision on how that rail is going to run.
All right, Elaine. Thanks very much for the call. We're going to get you an answer.
So Elaine, we will be a HECO customer. We will be one of the largest of their customers. They've told us they don't need to build a new power plant, that they have sufficient capacity to be able to power our system. There will be some costs associated with our hookup, just like any other business. And as a part of our operating budget, we will be paying an electric bill, just like you do or any other business as well.
But, Elaine, I did want to tell you that when NextEra came into town, we met with the CEO of NextEra, and I told him that since Hart's going to be one of their largest customers, we'd like to get a preferential rate if at all possible. He laughed about it, but in all seriousness, there could be a way that we could help them and they could help us, and we're going to be looking at ways to do that.
Do you have any ideas in mind of how that might work?
Well, we're going to be going right through the center of town, 20 miles, and the middle of our elevated system is hollow. We can pull cable through that, including electrical cable, and perhaps they could become a customer of ours. We're paying a lot of money to put that cable through and build this supporting system. There could be a win-win for both of us.
So that's a symbiotic relationship between the two that might be good for both.
And, there's another aspect to that HECO has at least described to us, is that it's very well known that there's a challenge for them right now to draw down all of the photovoltaic power that they get midday. And one of the good things about our system, as they've described to us, adding a big customer like us, like we will be, and also adding a big customer that operates during daylight hours very heavily, could actually help overall in terms of driving down costs on the grid for everybody, as well as utilizing more of their photovoltaic power. So we're hoping to see ourselves as a participant in their ability to try to expand that.
All right. Thanks very much for the call, Elaine. We're going off now to Lisa calling us from Kalihi. Aloha, Lisa. Welcome to Town Square.
Aloha. I'm really happy that there are going to be rail stops at Leeward Community College and Honolulu Community College, as well as the West Oahu campus. But I was wondering, during construction of these actual stops, is anybody watching the air quality for the campus child care centers that are located very nearby?
We are. We are monitoring, and we will be monitored for all of our construction activities and the environmental impacts, whether it be noise, dust, or other aspects that you might expect. We are very strictly regulated by both federal standards as well as state and city and county standards. We have to get numerous permits that allow us to have this type of activity, and we also spend quite a good deal of money in our project on monitoring. And in particular, as you point out, wherever we're, around kids, schools, in particular, we're paying great attention. And you should know that the folks at the various chancellors at the campuses and the leadership at the University of Hawaii also separately sit down with us to negotiate terms of conditions while we're in construction and ultimately when we have the full station there. And they also, again, keep our feet to the fire to make sure that we're being very good neighbors during construction and later when we're built.
All right. Thanks very much, Lisa, for the question. I'm going to go off now to Kailua and Hal calling us. Aloha, Hal. Welcome to Town Square. Thanks for your patience, too.
No problem. I've spent 10 years analyzing capital budget projects, primarily for the city council and the budget committee, and I found that it was a myth that costs were to low bid so they could get change orders. I found that it was primarily unforeseen conditions and poor design. I'm hoping costs can be contained on this project, but the bottom line is it's going to cost what it costs. And in 25 years, no one's going to care. And I say that not being a smart aleck, but look at H3. It was 17 times over its original cost estimate. And today, when I drive it every day, does anyone worry about that? I don't think so. This project could be a benefit to this island, for, like the mayor said, for the next 100 years.
All right, Hal, thanks very much for calling with your endorsement of it. But, I mean, his point that it's going to be what it's going to be because we're not going to back off now. I mean, there's no thought in your mind that you would stop at this point.
I think there's no turning back. I think to turn back, we'd end up spending probably as much money as we spent already getting to this point, and we'd be right back to the same old traffic problem status quo. I did want to add one thing that Hal said. You know, I went off to school in Boston in college, and I wrote a system that was built over 100 years ago. And when it was first started, people were screaming like crazy about the cost. It's been amortized many times over at a time when Hawaii was still a kingdom. And here a guy from Hilo could go and ride on this system and get great benefit. And Hal is right. I mean, 25, 30, 50 years from now, people are going to look back, and I believe they're going to say, this is a great deal. I'm glad it's here. And, you know, who thought of it?
and I would just add to you know, it's never easy to bring to the public a cost overrun. But I think what's important for people to remember here is that a big chunk of what we're facing in terms of what these additional costs are legacy issues that or lawsuits that faced that the project had to face. And you know, one of our lawsuits shut us down for construction completely for 13 months. The state Supreme Court case. And so we've had to deal with that, and that cost us tens of millions of dollars but didn't buy us a column or a rail car. And again, most significantly, and for those who are listening, that you know very well that 3 years ago there wasn't a crane in the sky and that the competition for construction was, you know, it was a buyer's market, right?
And that was one of the big selling points.
And that was one of the big selling points. We were going to be job creator. What happened? We were delayed from the initial awards for almost 2 years in some contracts because of a number of different reasons. And then we literally started working, if you remember, in April of 2012. And then in August of 2012, the Supreme Court shut us down for another 13 months. So here we are really 3 years late. And that 3 years time has cost us dearly, not only for delay claims, as I said, $190 million out of the project, but the competition we're now facing.
Well, time is our master, too. And we have other callers who want to talk to you both. Mayor Kirk Caldwell is here tonight, and CEO of Heart, Dan Grabauskas, and you too. And we're going to take our next call. Rike calling us from Niu Valley. Aloha. Welcome to Town Square.
Aloha. My question is about bus service. For, I understand the first leg will go to Aloha Stadium area. Will there be bus service for people to get into town where they really need to go? And if your ridership numbers are correct, it would be a very significant number of buses being on the road.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so how are you dealing with that?
So I'm going to jump in. This is Kirk. I'm going to jump in, and then Dan can jump in too. There's no way that our rail system will be successful without our bus system. And in the 2 years since I've been mayor, working closely with Dan, we've actually formed a partnership between HART and the bus, the OTS that operates. And we're talking about exactly your concerns. How do we make sure there are buses taking riders to stations and then getting them back home again? And what are we doing in this interim period when part of the system will be up and running? We want to make sure that people can go to the last station closest to town and get into town from there. We're working on that.
That's all well integrated is your point.
Correct. If it isn't well integrated, we have a ridership issue. There won't be as many riders. We want a lot of riders. We want this to be a success and exceed the projections that Dan talked about. And we're working on that right now, and both short term and long term when the entire system is finished. Dan, I don't know if you want to add anything to that.
I think that covers it.
All okay. Right, good. Then we're going to move on, and thanks, Rike, for the call. Going to Isaiah, calling us from Honolulu. Aloha, Isaiah. Welcome to Town Square.
Hello?
Yes, hello, Isaiah?
Hi, yes.
Okay.
Just wanted to say that I got off work at 4:30, and it's almost time to get off the air, and I've been in this traffic all that time. I live out in Kapolei, and yes, we need rail. I'm not even by the stadium yet. Anyway, you know, we definitely need rail.
All right, so you're calling with an endorsement. Do you have a question in there too?
No, I don't have a question. I just wanted to, you know, let you guys know to keep on going and do it faster.
Okay. Thanks, Isaiah.
All right, thanks
Isaiah, for listening.
For the call. All right, we're coming down to the last part of the hour. Going to Kai, calling us from Kapolei. Aloha, Kai. Welcome to Town Square.
Aloha.
Aloha.
Hi there. You're on.
Yeah, I just wanted to comment. I drive past the project almost every day from Kapolei, and I was a little concerned about the latest news about the over budget, but just listening to you folks staying on course to the end of the project, I just wanted to thank you and be more real.
Thanks,
all right,
Kai.
There. Thanks very much, Kai. All right, so you've gotten some folks who are saying, you know, we're going to stay the course. You certainly are prepared to stay the course. As you look out over just the next short-term period of time, are you concerned at all about anything that we haven't really talked about that has come down the pike since that meeting in December? Because most of what has been coming through and percolating through came through the time of the holidays. Some people were or maybe weren't paying attention to that. And now here we are facing a new year, legislature opening next week. What's on your list of concerns?
I guess the short-term list of concerns, I put safety and traffic that we haven't really talked too much about. And they kind of go hand in hand. Most of the construction activity that you're going to be seeing more and more of will be taking place in the center median of very busy roadways. And we really want to make sure that all of our workers, as well as the people who drive by, go home to their families every day. So we, you mentioned at the opening, the
TV look, spot,
the TV spot about look ahead, not overhead, as we do, especially at that H1, H2 merge with the balanced cantilever work. Please, 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 we ask folks, drive carefully. Safety is really the most important. And then the second part of that is the traffic. And we realize and apologize for the traffic impacts that we've had, particularly, like, for instance, most recently on Kamehameha Highway, where we've had a lot of utility relocations and work. It is one step backwards for a couple steps forward, but we're really intensely working in the community with the business owners along the route where we're doing construction, as well as residences, and trying to make sure that we do our work at night. Most of it's done at night in the off-peak, and that we're limiting the number of lanes that we close only for safety purposes. So if you have to, one thing I haven't heard yet today, but is on my mind every day, is safety and trying to mitigate traffic.
And no concern for any types of materials that are coming here that you've been using or things that you've been finding aren't working? I mean, we had a little bit of that percolate into the news cycle, but not a whole lot.
No. There has been some recent news reports that were actually incorrect, where there was some calling to question some of the foundations for some of the columns. If I could take 30 seconds to correct that, we actually do a diagnostic test of every column that we put into the ground to make sure that there are no voids in the concrete, and if that there are, they are injected and filled before the column is built. So our monthly report actually talked about we found 21 places where that had happened. So Kiewit, the contractor, is paying for it. It's good that they identified it because it meant that we found it.
All right, Mayor, I'm going to give you the last word because we almost have to say goodbye. We've got about 30 seconds
before
we have to say goodbye.
Echo Dan's concern, safety and traffic. Please be careful out there all over our roads. We have tragedies that happen that shouldn't. If people just drive a little slower, a little more patient, and show aloha, that's what we're about, and that is my biggest concern.
Mayor Kirk Caldwell,
thank you for being here. Happy New Year.
And Happy New Year to you and to CEO of Heart, Dan Grabowskis. Thank you for spending the last hour with us.
Thank you, Beth Ann.
And to all of you who called, we appreciate your calls. And for those of you who couldn't get through, we're sorry. Hope you got your questions answered. But we'll be doing this periodically as we move through this project, I would expect. And perhaps you'll have a chance to ask a question then. Meanwhile, have a good evening. I will see you back here tomorrow morning for the conversation bright at 8 o'clock. Otherwise, enjoy yourself tonight. I'm Beth Ann Kozlovich. Aloha.